Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman along with Jeff McClain here the day after the Eagles win over the Los Angeles Chargers. It was a road game in LA that seemed like a home game. Jeff, the Eagles are now 3-1. What stood out to you most about that third win?
Yeah, I think you got to go with the offense, in particular the run offense, and how they were able to effectively move the ball on the ground. And most impressively, during that four-minute offense finish, that pretty much killed the final 6:44 off the clock. If you were the Eagles, you had to feel if you couldn't score there, and if you couldn't drain the clock, that you were going to give Phillip Rivers one more chance, and it might not have happened. It might not have turned out quite as swimmingly had they.
The Chargers were hot the whole fourth quarter.
The Chargers were hot, and certainly that's something we'll talk about in a little bit. These defensive meltdowns that we've seen in the fourth quarter over the last 3 weeks. But the offensive line is playing very well at this point. I think some of it has to do with the fact that they've sort of figured out left guard. With Isaac Seumalo. You have Stefan Wisniewski splitting snaps with Chance Warmack, although he got a little more. I think he got 49-30 over Warmack. I mean, I would think at some point you're probably going to see a little more Wiz than Warmack, because I think the production has been better when he's been in there. So that has something to do with the offensive line success. Some of that has to do with just the fact that sometimes it takes a few games to get rolling. But the running backs have been running strong. LeGarrette Blount, of course, had the highlight of the game, maybe the highlight of the season. That 68-yard run was impressive. But that wasn't the only one. He had a lot of good carries where he just doesn't typically go down upon first contact.
The game-clenching run, actually, if you'll call it that, the final first down of the game, he ran, 15 yards in that play on a short yards, third down situation that allowed the Eagles to kneel it. The thing that jumps out to me is that 2 weeks ago, we are boarding the plane in Kansas City, get off the plane from Kansas City, and the big talk is the lack of the running game. And in 2 weeks, they've really shown that they can run the ball.
They're third in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah, for all the talk about Doug needing to call running plays, you've seen it the past 2 weeks. You've seen that commitment to the ground game.
Yeah, nearly 400 yards on the ground from the running backs. I think the key in terms of Blount has, you got to give him the ball so he's going downhill. You can't have him rushing outside the tackles. There was a one play down near the goal line where it was a stretch play. I'm like, you just can't do that with him. I was a little surprised in Kansas City that he didn't get one carry. He got one carry, was negated by a penalty. I didn't think he was that bad in Washington. You didn't see him break many tackles. Maybe they're trying to deliver a message. I don't know. I think it was more game plan specific. Sure. They thought that Darren Sproles would have more success. But, I thought Blount would be a relatively productive guy coming in. I just felt like in terms of what they needed, I didn't see this coming.
No.
I didn't think that he had that type of 68-yard run in him. As a matter of fact, it's the longest run the Eagles have had in 11 years from a running back. So he's delivered so far when he's been out there. The key now will be moving forward, using all three of those guys in the right spots. Because you have no Sproles anymore, but Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, keep them active. I know some people thought that maybe Blount should have gotten more touches yesterday. What do you think? Did you think they got away from him too much? I don't know. It's hard to say they did when you look at the numbers.
No, the only thing I would say is that final drive, when we spoke about 6 minute, 44 minute drive, they gave it to Clement a lot there.
He ran three times for first downs.
Exactly. So it's nitpicking. I just think we've seen that Blount is at his best, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter when defense is a little tired. One guy's not going to be able to take him down, especially when he gets to the second level.
Yeah.
So I would feed him the ball later in games, but you can't really quibble with it because they were productive yesterday.
Typically, when you a guy like that, when you feed him the ball late in the fourth quarter in your head, he can wear defenses down. Now, maybe they're looking ahead because we saw last year with the Patriots how he kind of had a lesser role as the season went along. Maybe they're saying, we got to keep his touches around 10 to 15 in terms of carrying the ball a game so that when we get later in the season, he had 299 carries last year. So I can't quibble with that idea.
Yeah, no, and 200 rushing yards from the running backs yesterday. It's a credit to them, it's a credit to the blocking, it's a credit to Doug, because I think sometimes we are pretty tough on Peterson, but I will say this, when he got up there after the Kansas City game and was talking about how they need to run the ball more, I was skeptical, because I thought it was kind of lip service, something to say at a press conference, and his ways was to pass it. But in 2 weeks here, he's really shown a commitment to the ground game. And in talking to the offensive linemen, they really like it. And you said it on the podcast before, they prefer run blocking.
Yeah.
But I think they like this offense when they have that balance.
Yeah. You know, I thought that there were even some third down and longs where Doug had the ball handed off and they didn't get them. I think some of that falls on Carson. They're giving him the ability to check in and out of runs if he sees the right look in the box. But that says a little bit about what you think your run offense can do. And there were a few times when they picked up, I think, a third or four, I think, here and there. And that deflates defenses when when they give up those. So, you know, sometimes it sets up for another drive down the road, a certain situation where you have the defense thinking that, oh, maybe a third down, whatever, you can run play action, and it gets the defense to bite. So I thought Doug, I agree with you, I think Doug called one of his best games as a Philadelphia Eagles head coach, and that played a large role in them winning. I mean, everyone keeps talking about Jim Schwartz and you know, how well he does, how well he calls on the other side of the ball, and I think Doug gets kind of a shafted a little bit there, although I haven't always been a big fan of how he's called games, but I thought on Sunday he did a very good job.
So is it time to talk about Schwartz? Is there any more we should touch on with this offense, or should we go to Schwartz and the defense here?
Yeah, let's go to defense. I mean, well, I guess we could talk about Carson.
An efficient game. Yeah, I mean, he did enough to win, I thought.
Yeah, and it's becoming almost like where you expect this from him.
Sure.
And he's only 20 starts into his career. You know, his percentage right now, completion percentage, is around 60%. You'd like to be a little higher, but there haven't been many egregious throws. You know, there were some drops yesterday. Torrey Smith dropped a pass. That was a 30-plus.
That you called, by the way, before you saw the coverage.
Yeah. You do it every now and then, too.
There were three passes that I was real impressed with. With Carson. Hitting Nelson Aguilar I'm down along the sideline there. It was a third down play, I believe.
Yeah, 30-something yards.
Yeah. The play across his body to Blunt.
That was pretty impressive.
And it was... it was just a drop off there to Blunt, but he escaped pressure.
That ball still traveled.
Exactly.
25, 30 yards in the air, maybe more than that.
And then the pass to Ertz over the middle when he literally put it in the only spot Ertz could catch it.
Right. I was really over the shoulder pass there. Yeah. Those were really good touch throws that he had, and they qualify as deep passes. I think he went deep again to Smith on that seam route, and he went to Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, that was a bad pass. The Marcus Johnson one.
Yeah, I think he wanted to give his guy a chance. It was a little too inside. He was covered pretty well.
Yeah, Johnson played good defense there.
Yeah, that was probably one he'd like to have back. But you know what?
It's a good game.
That happens. You take those chances every now and then. He still has some awkward throws down low, short throws, and he's still kind of holding the ball too long occasionally, just trying to make a play. But I think you kind of accept that because there are times he will make plays. As you have mentioned several times, you know, John DeFilippo wants him to run at least once or twice a game for a first down, and he did that again on Sunday, escaping from the pocket and rushing for a first down. I think it was like 12 yards or so. So he can do that for you. So maybe you're willing to kind of give up a little bit in terms of when he takes a sack here or there. But he only took one sack. No, there were two sacks yesterday. And Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram came in with 8 combined sacks, and they had none. So kudos to Jason Peters and Lane Johnson.
And Lane, I didn't get a chance to talk to Peters after the game, spoke to Johnson, and he kind of really took that personally, how much attention was being paid to that matchup of Bosa and Ingram against the Eagles tackles, because the Eagles tackles are prideful, and they think they can block against the best ends or best edge rushers in the league, and I think they showed it yesterday.
They did show it yesterday. Bosa is really good. Ingram's, again, had 5.5 sacks entering the game. I think it was NFL
lead.
It was
lead,
Maybe I didn't focus enough on that in my game story. Nope. But I mean, not my game story, but my stories that I've written. But all in all, a good, you know, that was an offensive win. I mean, you want to clinch some of those, take some of those possessions into Chargers territory and get in the end zone. They had to set up for 4 field goals for
Jake Elliott
field goals. Who
he's kicking with confidence right now. Like that 61 yarder. That I think that really helped him out.
Yeah, there was a reason why he was drafted in the 5th round, right?
Sure, sure. But the inconsistency is the reason why he didn't make the Bengals roster.
Right, And as Marvin Lewis pointed out, what was he, only 3 of 5 in those first two games? Well, he's now 7 of 9, and 6 of the 7 are over 40 yards, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you spent some time around kickers. Yeah, I think whether it was Akers when he was hot and cold, yeah. Alex Henry when he was under a lot of pressure, Cody Parkey here.
Yeah.
And a kicker's head is a bad place to be sometimes because when they're rolling, I think it's contagious and they get that confidence. And when they miss a kick here or there, I think it really affects them. And I think right now you just see Elliott kicking with confidence. And I did a story on him last Sunday, and three people I spoke to mentioned the sound that you hear when he kicks the ball. And you actually mentioned it sitting next to me in the press box yesterday that you heard him on one of those kicks, that you heard that boom off his foot.
Yeah, I think it was a 53-yarder, and he nailed that. That was good, probably good for 60 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's making them with authority. I haven't really gotten to know him well yet, but I like his temperament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go out and say it now, but maybe more than any other kicker I've had
really?
To deal. Yeah.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, Akers was good, and I understand he's going to be inducted into the Wall of Fame this year. Greatest kicker in team history. But he was insecure about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Who followed him? Alex Henry. Alex Henry just couldn't do it in pressure situations, and you knew that about him. Cody Park, yeah, I thought he had a pretty good temperament about things. Maybe a little edgy on stuff. And Sturgis, okay as well. I don't know him as well. I can't really say this. I'm kind of just...
No, but it's
here.
Interesting.
But I do like his temperament.
An interesting nugget in terms of his temperament. You spoke about Parkey. Cody Parkey logged every kick that he ever took. And that was kind of Parkey's personality. Was he could remember every kick. Kind of the,
yeah.
And Jake Elliott, he's not like that. He said that, and you wrote this after the 61-yarder about the one-minute rule. He's really big on... All right, that kick happened. What's the next kick?
Got to move on.
Yeah, and he doesn't really harp on a kick one way or the other.
That's the way to go about it. And, just to jump real quick on the Carson Wentz, that's kind of the way to handle the quarterback position. That's what he said he normally does. And then the cameras caught him yelling at himself.
Yes.
He was doing what, NFL Films?
NFL Films mic'd him up.
Had him mic'd up, and he was just like yelling at himself after he missed that pass 2 weeks ago. A week ago. A little over a week ago to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, let's switch to the defensive side of the ball just to talk a little bit.
Yeah, fourth quarters have been a problem for this group.
Yeah, 52 points over the last 3 weeks.
Should Eagles fans be concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I asked Doug today about it, he gave sort of what I had mentioned in one of the stories I'd written, that the injuries are probably taking a little bit of a toll on the unit. I'm going to run back and look at the numbers in terms of pass pressures and sacks, etc. But since Fletcher Cox has gone down, you haven't really seen the defensive line be as ferocious. Now, some of that to do with how fast the ball is coming out from Eli Manning. But Eli Manning was taking deeper drops as that game went on.
Exactly.
Because
when Cox went out, yeah.
Right, when Cox went out. And this past week, Brandon Graham has been a little quieter than he had been with Cox next to him. Vinny Curry has yet to get a sack this year. Bo Allen did a nice job filling in for Cox. I got to give him credit for that. But when you have Cox in there, it just really changes the whole dynamic up front. And when the dynamic up front is working, then the back end guys like Russell Douglas and Jalen Mills don't have to hold their coverages long. And we've seen breakdowns in the secondary as a result.
Yeah, the issue with these guys going into, I shouldn't even say going into the season, but it was going into the season after Darby's injury, was the lack of speed. And I think you saw that on Tyrell Williams' touchdown. That wasn't in the fourth quarter. That was
a little technique, too, I felt.
Sure. But Douglas doesn't have the foot speed. There's very little margin for error with Douglas and Mills
when
a guy gets by them. So
right.
So that's why you're seeing a lot of off coverage, because Jim Schwartz would rather have a team go down the field with 8 yard slants than with a 60-yard pass.
Yeah.
And I think that's the approach they're going to have to take until Darby and or Sidney Jones are here.
But, I don't want to place all the blame on Russell Douglas. I mean, it looked like Ronnie McLeod put the cheese in that
long
touchdown.
Correct.
He probably needed to offer help over top there.
And that's his job. He's the safety help.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I assume so. Do we have him confirming that?
I didn't speak to him.
I knew not
name,
that
but
I.
He is that. He was the deep safety on that play.
Okay. And then, there was a 50-yard catch and run by Allen late in the game. It was against the zone, but still that's somebody's responsibility wherever he caught it. And then the run fit wasn't there on that 35-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it sounded like the linebackers had hands on them and they weren't able to get off.
Yeah, and you know, some of that, you know, Nigel Bradham is missing tackles in the open field. Would you have Michael Kendricks play more in the nickel? This early? Or
that's a good question. I think it's a little early. I think Bradham played well in that role last year. Kendricks, though, is playing well enough to merit time. Last year, something we saw when Kendricks was on the field in passing situations was teams really try to isolate him in coverage. And he's done well this year as a tackler, as a blitzer. We haven't seen much in coverage so far.
No.
So I'm curious if he's on the field more.
That's his biggest issue right now.
Yeah.
But Bradham isn't really doing great against running backs out of the backfield either.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, he's not playing great football right now.
Michael Kendricks wants to be out there, as you wrote last week.
Yeah, he certainly wants. He's certainly frustrated. He's playing well, but is he the type of guy where you give him more reps, then all of a sudden he's kind of exposed?
Could be like a Vinnie Curry situation. You remember when the previous coaching staff thought they were playing Curry just enough to get the production out of him?
Yeah. Right.
I think Kendricks is a good player, but they're in nickel a lot. Is he a better fit in nickel than Bradham? That's a fair question.
But you know, some of the defensive issues probably under the radar. It's like, you know, Derek Barnett hasn't really done much.
No, he's not.
He's getting playing about 30-40% of the time. You need a little more out of him, I think. Certainly Vinnie Curry. I think he's played the run pretty well, but he's not getting any pressure. And you know, Jordan Hicks was injured, came back, had an okay game. Want to see the coaches' film to get a better idea of where some of those issues have been. But you know, if the pass rush isn't getting home, then the secondary is going to be exposed a little more, and that's when things are going to fall apart.
Absolutely,
so
this,
to speak.
This defense is built around that pass rush. Last thing here before we wrap it up, they're the quarter mark of the season. I thought they'd be 2-2 at this point. They're 3-1. I frankly think Eagles fans can't ask for much more than what they've got so far. Kansas City, as we tape this before the Monday night game, is the last unbeaten team in the NFL. That's a good team, the Chiefs. It's hard to go into Arrowhead and win. Outside of that, the Eagles have taken care of business, won twice in the division. I think big picture, they're in a really good spot right now. How do you rate it?
Yeah, they are. I thought they would be 2-2 at this point. They've exceeded some of my expectations. I think sometimes, you know, some things have bounced their way favorably, but they've also performed better in certain circumstances than I thought they would. You know, they're winning close games. Last year, they weren't winning those close games in the middle of the season. I think this team, as we've both said, it has more talent than the one last year, so that's been part of the reason. I think Doug Peterson is probably one more... little more seasoned in terms of being a head coach. Carson Wentz is playing better, but there are still holes in this team. There's still issues. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They just easily could have lost that game. They just as easily could have lost the Giants game. They just as easily could have lost the Redskins game. But the key is that they're winning these close games. In the NFL, that's how you get to the playoffs.
100%.
Does that mean you're going to do anything in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know if that team is yet there. But right now, I think playoffs, it's realistic to talk about them.
That's why last year I was very unsympathetic when they kept talking about how they were in all these games at the end, how that's a positive sign. Because I'm of the opinion that there are very few teams in the NFL that are so good or so bad that they're not in close games.
Right.
That the difference between 10-6 and 6-10 or 9-7 and 7-9 is often how you do in these, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5-point games. And last year, 6 times, Carson Wentz had a chance to either win or tie the game in the final 2 minutes.
Right.
And didn't do it, outside that Baltimore game when they could have tied it.
Carson has had a turnover the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I give them credit. And this was a tough portion of their schedule in the fact that 3 of the games were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're back home, then on the road again. But they really are, October and November, are pretty forgiving in terms of the travel. So this is an opportunity for the Eagles to really build some ground.
Yeah, should be interesting.
There we go. That's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. We will be back this week. You're listening to the Bird's Eye View podcast.